Rainmaker.fm is brought to you by Authority, the content marketing training and networking community dedicated to accelerating your skills and success. Registration for Authority will close to new members on Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Go to getauthority.com to learn more.
This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable but never boring Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It's Sean Jackson, the host of The Missing Link, and I'm joined, as always, by the whimsical Micah Gadea. Oh. Micah, how are you today?
I am awesome, Sean. How are you?
I am wonderific, actually.
That's even better than whimsical.
Well, you know,
this show.
You know, well, today's show, we have two amazing writers. Not that I would ever, you know, say that to them, you know, in person, but
no,
two amazing writers.
I love them.
Damien Farnsworth and Jared Morris, who have very popular shows on Rainmaker.fm, phenomenal writers on copyblogger.com. I mean, just, you know, true talent. And I wanted to pull them in because, you know, that series that we did, Micah, on publishing to LinkedIn did extraordinarily well.
Yep.
I mean, our audience was all over it. And so I wanted to kind of follow up with them on content syndication, just kind of focus in a little bit with that. And luckily enough, because I actually write their checks, they agreed to be on the show. So,
oh, my God. How serendipitous.
I know. It's a little funny how that works out. So they're going to be on there. But you know what always gets me is that our audience, and I will say this continuously, our audience drives this show. They are the anchor of everything that we do. They are the ones asking the questions. They are the ones that are saying, what about this?
Yep.
And I cannot thank the audience enough for continuing to participate in our LinkedIn discussion group. And I know we plug it every single show, but I'm telling you, it is because it is so important to everything we do.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the questions that we always get at this point is how do they get to that discussion group? Because
I know.
We have so much conversation going on there about advertising. AJ is in there, right?
Yep.
And he's been really very, very helpful. We have a lot of discussions, but everyone says, how do I get into the show? So,
oh my
Micah,
goodness.
Tell them how they get in.
Well, you're going to get in by pulling out your mobile device and texting 41411, and your keyword is going to be MyLink, M-Y-L-I-N-K. For our international folks, we want you to join as well, and you will email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm.
That's it, folks. That's how simple it is to get into our super secret private group we always talk about. And it is the heart of the show. It is where people like AJ are putting questions in. It is where our audience are participating, contributing, et cetera. And part of this benefit of the show is because of that discussion group, it does bring us questions that we'd like to answer. And this is why today's episode with Damien and Jared is so important, because there were a lot of questions we received about content syndication in general, taking old stuff, putting it out there.
Right.
So that's what the show is going to be about. And it's also, to be a little bit, I guess, snarky, is that if you've ever met Damien and Jared and you've seen them in person, I will tell you that they remind me of two people. If you look at Damien, he looks like he's out of Central Casting for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're going to do a movie about like our Lord and Savior, you would sit there and you'd cast him into it. And trust me, I've wanted to nail him to a cross for a long time. So I think the Jesus metaphor is great. And then if you look at Jared, because he has that black spiky hair and a beard, he looks like Wolverine. So I'm sitting there, and when we were putting the show together today, I was thinking we were going to come up with a title. And so thinking back to South Park, the animated TV show, I'm thinking maybe the title of today's show should be Jesus versus Wolverine, There Will Be Blood.
Right. Don't we have to have LinkedIn in the title somewhere?
Oh, now you spoiled it. Okay. Well, I tell you what, when we come back from the break, we'll figure out the right title for this show with Jesus and Wolverine as our special guest. So everybody stay tuned and listen in, and we'll catch you after the break.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. And as promised, I have Jesus versus Wolverine, the South Park episode, for our topic today. Actually, Micah, who are our very special guests today? Could you give a little intro for them?
Oh, Sean, we've got two of my favorite people here at Rainmaker Digital, Damian and Jared. They do The Lead together. And if you guys haven't listened to that, it is a phenomenal podcast. It's been around actually for a while. Jared helps us out with the showrunner, so you can learn podcasting, the ins, the outs, the upside downs, and Rough Draft by Damian. Amazing information and advice just for you right now.
Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so wait, so who is Jesus and who's Wolverine?
Look in the mirror and you can find out.
Yeah. I think if Jared finally grows his hair out, though, then it could be interchangeable.
No, you know, it's always going to have that. It's going to be that spiky hair. He's always going to have that spiky hair. He's Wolverine, period.
You do know he tried to grow his hair out, but he
chickened out. I couldn't get past the awkward phase.
Yeah,
I couldn't. Right? One of these
days. Which is tough. I mean, I have to say.
Yeah. As a guy with no hair, I have no idea what you're talking about, gentlemen. Appreciate that. Thank you. Keep rubbing it in. All right. So I'm going to rip on you two link holes for a second because when I started the show off on The Missing Link and it was all about LinkedIn, I was so excited because nobody else was programming on Rainmaker.fm around LinkedIn. And sure enough, back in June, you two put on this whole episode about how to grow an audience on LinkedIn by repurposing content. And I was like, you link holes, you totally stake my content. And I was I want to talk about that show in particular because it was okay. I mean, it's not The Missing Link, but it was okay enough. But you guys really, it was part of a broader context about content syndication, your experience with it, et cetera. So talk a little bit about that series that you guys did, kind of the groundwork that you were covering and some of the thought processes you got from it.
Well, content syndication, it's something that's been on my radar for quite some time. I wanted to talk about it. Because I think it's just sort of a huge, very interesting, intriguing topic. Because, I mean, what you're essentially doing is you're taking content that you've already published that's not original, and you're publishing it across the web at other bigger publishers, and then doing it on sites like Medium and LinkedIn, which were two of the sites that we covered. It was just a fascinating because I watched, it was Bell Beth Cooper, who I did one interview with her. It's content syndication, like, got on my radar when I saw her. It was actually you, Sean, who shared an article with me on Business Insider. Said you need to follow this girl, and I was like, I have been, but I read the article and I was like, I recognize this before. And sure enough, I just traced it back to, I think it was originally published on Buffer, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. So how is that happening? But of course, that whole strategy was fascinating because Buffer used that strategy of content syndication to grow enormously. And then they kind of cut back from that wide visibility sort of blitzkrieg to a more focused converting type of focus.
So. Let's stop right there for a second because I want to understand this. Their tactic, and I thought it was brilliant, but what you really found through the interviews on The Lead was that they were basically using it to build the audience externally. And once they started to grab or get some traction with that, they started to pull back and more aggressively publish on their particular blog site. Is that correct?
Not only on there, but they were publishing aggressively on their site, but like they went from, and like the other thing that they did too, which they went from like really broad, like the articles that were published by Bell Beth Cooper. I mean, they were on happiness, and there was one by Leo on body language, and these are the ones that were getting syndicated. So Buffer is a social media tool, right? And like, so what is body language and what is happiness really have to do with that? But that was the point, was to grow this wide audience, to get traction, to get people, you know, traffic back to the site. That was the point.
Gotcha. So you specifically on an episode about LinkedIn and totally taking a topic, you profiled an individual over at Help Scout who had an amazing story about his, I guess, 30-day challenge on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Gregory Ciotti, right?
Yeah, go ahead and share with the audience a little bit about what you guys covered, because God knows I want to totally redo your topic again.
So Gregory Ciotti, he took this 30-day challenge because, you know, LinkedIn opened up publishing to everyone. I think they went from, because originally it was just, they were just sort of hand selecting influencers large with, you know, large marquee names, and those people were publishing, but then they eventually just opened up to everybody. And so Gregory Ciotti was thinking, okay, so let me see if you can build an audience on here through by publish. Because that's what, I mean, if I remember correctly, LinkedIn was encouraging people like share your, publish. This doesn't have to be original content. Share stuff that you've published before. And so Gregory was going to take 30 days and see if he could actually do that. And he did. And he did. He did, exceptionally well. One of his pieces did really, really well. So it's kind of an anomaly. But so he just sat down and he started taking posts that he published elsewhere. And then he would divide them up. If it was really long, he would divide them up into two, maybe three different articles and started publishing them on LinkedIn. And he created a nice little sound audience that way.
And we're going to put in the show notes a link to that whole thing that he did, because what I thought was fascinating from this whole process is that of the 255,000 views that he got, almost 200,000 plus were based on one article alone.
Right.
And that was about Steve Jobs and why he never listened to customers, correct?
Exactly.
Now, I want to bring Jared into this, because Jared, in the past, in reading your writing, you kind of go from the much more, technical how-to, step-by-step, et cetera, to the very broad and more of life lessons learned from business type of thing. And I want to focus on this because I want your opinion. In the course of, industry information, how to, et cetera, versus interesting life things that may apply to your business career, of those types of content out there, what do you think would generally work well in a third-party site or, not on your site per se, but on a site like Pulse, let's say? What would be your general feeling if you were going to syndicate out life lessons versus how-to checklist, that type of thing?
Oh, I mean, I think they both could work. I think obviously you need to know the audience and know the place where you're posting. So I think if you're going to be posting on a place like LinkedIn, if you're going to be doing some type of life lesson post, then I think you would want it to be applicable to business. So it wouldn't just be general leadership lessons, but you would want to really tie them in, to business leadership and use those kind of buzzwords, especially in your headlines and your descriptions, because that's what people are kind of keyed up to look for over there, as opposed to, say, a Facebook, where it's going to be a little bit more general. So, I think it depends on where you're going, where you're posting, because people are looking for different things, obviously, at different sites.
Yeah, but I got that. But I'm going to go more specific on this one, Jared, because I think that, and let me tell you what I'm leading towards. When we looked at the type of content that's out there, there's always those kind of self-help business-esque type of things, how to get a career, how to get more customers, how to attract an audience, et cetera. But then there's those posts like about, Steve Jobs and why he never listened to customers, which really, I mean, granted, it's about Steve Jobs, so it's going to get a lot of stuff out there. But if you really think about it, the audience that's reading this is not Steve Jobs, right? I mean, they're not even going to come close to Steve Jobs' success, and yet they're going to be fascinated by something so extraneous to their business existence that by the sheer topic, it says, I have to pay attention to this because I already kind of know what's happening in my business space. So I really want to get to is, do you think that when creating up your content strategy, should you focus more, especially on content syndication, on that how-to checklist, that type of thing? Or should you experiment with some more business lifestyle things, some concepts that are just so out there, so non-immediate to a person's need that they, by definition, draw attention?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think you can do both. I mean, I think with the Steve Jobs post, Steve Jobs is obviously an interesting figure, and his name is going to attract attention. And so, a specific post about Steve Jobs may not be applicable to your business life, but we're all kind of tuned to see Steve Jobs in a headline and think, hey, we can learn a valuable lesson here. Mm-hmm. Whether it's business leadership, whether it's about, whether it's about design, whatever it's about. So I think that's one thing Damien and I have talked about a lot on The Lead is the importance of experimentation. And I think you do have to try some of those things out and see, because I think both types of posts can work.
So, Damien, you have experimented with content syndication, and can you share a little bit about kind of your experience with it, your frustrations, where do you think you went wrong, what do you think you would do next time better, et cetera?
Well, I'll start with where I went wrong. I think the main thing, and this has sort of been consistent through the people I've talked to and to my own experience is that you just have to be consistent. Like, you know, building an audience is it's a long game. So you just have to hang in there. And I never did. I never had the patience really to sit and do that. I just wanted to kind of the quick results and move on. But so yeah, you got to be consistent. And then you have to be, like I think Jared was talking about, is you have to be focused upon your audience, because like what Gregory Ciotti found, that you know, if you focus on sort of customer experience, I mean, they had these sort of categories, these keywords that did it better than others, and you have to pay attention to the format. And like one of the insights that he walked away with that I thought was so compelling was this idea. It's like, listen, like most people who like read these articles are doing it on lunch break or right before they come in, so you want these articles to be short. So you really have to pay attention to like how people are consuming the content, what they're consuming, what they ultimately need, because it's totally different like over at Medium when I was publishing over there, because that's a sort of free-flowing sort of social media publishing platform where things like startup culture, and I can't really, it's funny though, because Medium was for me like a very focused, like there are categories, but if you wrote anything about the startup culture, and particularly like your experience in startup culture, it did really well, you know, and so it's just knowing, you know, knowing the audience and knowing the platform and knowing who's there, and then just being consistent over time. It ultimately leads to sort of success in that particular venues. So and that's, but you know, then we're talking content syndication on a larger scale of like mm-hmm. actually getting larger sites to republish your content, and then that's kind of a different game. And that, in a lot of sense, can be a game changer for somebody.
Yeah, you on your show on The Lead, when you guys were covering this topic, you guys had some questions about, you know, is the content on LinkedIn being searched by Google? And the answer is mm-hmm. yes, it is. It's just delayed out there. They don't use a rel canonical attribution in the HTML, but of course you can always put into the copy this originally appeared here. But this is something that I noticed, is that Google indexes LinkedIn Pulse articles, which is where you publish to, but right. it's not going to be something that comes up right away. And in fact, when we had Katie Carroll, who was the social media editor for LinkedIn Pulse, she said, yeah, go ahead, syndicate. Go ahead and put anything you have out there. It's, you know, we want you to do that. Mm. And certainly some of the sideline benefit is that it will get indexed by Google and Bing and the other search engines. So that is very nice that apparently it is not being penalized, if you will, for that fictitional duplicate content idea that most people carry. So
indeed.
Indeed. So I want to go ahead, and since we have two amazing writers, well, we have Jared and Damien, on the show, I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the art of crafting headlines for both your post in LinkedIn and also your updates. And by the way, you know, I don't know if you guys listened to that debate that I guess you would call it a debate between John Loomer and myself about Facebook versus LinkedIn, which got brutal at times because, you know, when mm-hmm. you're battling an 800-pound gorilla with, yeah. you know, that many users. But there was something that he asked me that I didn't have the stat on, and I'm totally going to put it out here. In the research on LinkedIn, a post, and this, by the way, is not necessarily a pulse post. This is just a status update. There was a terminology difference. But Buffer, Kevin Lee, wrote that if you are posting a update into your LinkedIn profile, that 20% of your followers will see that update. And if you post 20 times per month, and again, these are updates, not pulse posts, but updates, mm-hmm. 60% of your followers get it. Contrasting that wow. to Facebook, which has been on the decline and now is hovering somewhere around 3% because of all that filtering that they put on there. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's important to point that out because LinkedIn isn't overly saturated like Facebook is right now. Just want that point to be clear, right? So you can still get stuff out there, and that may change later. But it does lead me to the question for you guys, which is, look, you do have a status update that you can easily do in LinkedIn. You also have the ability to publish a post. So updates and posts are part of it. Talk to our audience a little bit about some general rule of thumbs for sending out updates first, those little small Twitter-esque type of updates that go through the feed. What would you guys generally, you know, give as a guidance for someone who's thinking aggressively of trying to reach at least 20% and maybe 60% of their audience by doing those status updates?
Well, I can take this one, Damien. I mean, I think I think the first thing that you need to think about is what's your goal for the update? You know, is this just an update to put a piece of information out there? Is it an update to start a conversation? Is it an update to get people to read? You know, are you posting a link with your update? So understanding your goal is first. And then I think second is understanding the fact that obviously attention is diverted. It's sparse. And so you've got to grab people and you have to make some kind of compelling promise that as I'm scrolling down, as I'm looking, that's going to grab me. And, you know, I think if you're posting a link to an article, you know, we talk all the time on the Copyblogger blog about the four U's of headlines, you know, making sure that they're unique, that they're ultra specific, that they're urgent. And I think that's where, especially with, you know, a social media update, you know, if there's a name, like we talked about with Steve Jobs, I mean, if you have an article about Steve Jobs, that name's got to be in there because it grabs people. You know, if there's a big number, if there's a big statistic, something like that, that's really going to grab people and stop. And then if you make that compelling promise, you'll get them to click through. Or if you ask a compelling question, you'll get people to respond. So I think it's really thinking through what the goal is and then figuring out what's the most compelling individual element of this question, of this post, whatever it is, to stop people in their tracks and get them to actually take action on it.
So let me add, like, I think what we're all after, like, social media is like engagement and like increasing engagement. And so what I mean by engagement, you know, like getting people to reply to it or getting that click through. And I wrote a post about using the PAS, the problem, agitate, solve formula to basically, you know, if you're after a click through, use that formula in order to get people to sort of, you know, to get their attention, then create that desire to want to click through and check out what's on the other side of that. The other thing is, like, almost always I found whatever medium you're sort of on, if you want engagement, like people actually replying and commenting on your stuff, is like to ask a question. It's like probably the, like, just a sort of hands down easiest best way to get engagement. And like what Jared is saying is like, what are you trying to accomplish? If it's just the click through to get through, or is it to get, you know, and I think a healthy social media presence is one where you are interacting with the people who follow you, and you are sharing, you know, you're sharing relevant things with them, and you're asking them relevant questions, and you're making them feel like they're being listened to. So, you know, asking questions and using that PAS formula, and of course, like Jared said, like using, you know, the four U's, good headline formula and stuff, especially on Twitter where you're limited to 140 characters.
Yeah, and let me add one thing too, is beware of any big blocks of text. You know, if you're trying to write a description, or you're just, you know, or you're writing a status update, you know, I think all of us, our eyes will kind of glaze over it, big blocks of text. So especially if it's a longer update, you know, make that first line short, something catchy, something short, similar really to what you want to do with a blog post too, with your first line, to really, really grab people. Because again, I think it's important to understand, you know, just the way that people use the internet and just kind of how naturally people just scroll and scroll and scroll, and, you know, maybe something grabs their attention. You've got to be that something, but you can't expect that people are going to give you 10 seconds to read the whole thing.
Yeah, it's amazing, because I sent out an update recently about this stat about Texas will blow you away. And I mean, everybody from Texas who read it on LinkedIn was like commenting, and it was kind of funny because it was one of those, it followed so much of the headline advice that you put out there about, you know, well, what is this stat? You know, and it's Texas, it's something relevant to me. And then of course, I love, Damien, what you said about asking a question. And I think certainly on LinkedIn, which again, you don't have as much updates as you would, let's say, on a Twitter feed where you may be following hundreds, if not thousands of people, or on Facebook where God knows what they're going to give you. So I do think that idea of asking a question is also a very powerful, not trick, if you will, but it is a way to engage people, is asking their opinion. Everybody has an opinion, might as well ask them what it is, right?
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is, like, you know, understanding the medium that you're on and who that audience is behind that. Because, you know, in a somewhat deliberate way, I've kind of, you know, carved out, like, my Facebook audience is probably full of, I mean, I have a lot of people sort of follow me over there from the business world, but for the most part, it's probably family and friends. So, but, you know, and when I share stuff from, like, you know, Rough Draft or Copyblogger, I get like maybe two likes, you know, and one of them is Jared almost always, you know.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, but if I kind of, you know, open up and share about, like, you know, something that I'm struggling with, you know, it's like easily 100 likes and 40 comments, you know, and it's like, okay, so you know your audience. And if I did that on Twitter, like I don't think people would know what to do with that. Like I say, understanding where you're at and like what you're asking and focusing on that and like being deliberate. I mean, Jared and I have talked about this before. Is like when you have these social media presences like LinkedIn, like Twitter, like Facebook, you're sort of you're sculpting your social, like your image, you know, essentially. And so you do that in the questions that you ask and the way you interact and the stuff that you share. It's ultimately always sort of just reflecting back upon your reputation and who you are. And so I mean, it doesn't mean like on LinkedIn or Twitter, I can't be personal and I can't share things that I like and stuff. But I always have to remember that, you know, I mean, I'll get more traction on LinkedIn if I talk about something about the, you know, professional world, whether it be writing or, you know, online marketing or something.
So I have a question because, you know, we did a whole series about publishing on LinkedIn and really, you know, kind of where my advice to the audience was when you're going to publish a post, not an updated post, you know, obviously think about your keywords in your headline, make your headline both compelling, but also use the keywords in there, use it in your body copy. We talked about, you know, the powerful imagery, both in the top of the post and of course inside of the post. We talked about tags, which again, LinkedIn's algorithm gives a huge bias towards tags that you append to the post, the three tags that you're allowed mm-hmm. to put in. But the last one, and I noticed this a lot when we were reviewing the post from our people in our discussion group, almost always the call to actions were either missing or they were weak. Now, I know that headlines are everything, or at least 50% of anything that you write, right? 50% of your time is on the headline, 50% mm-hmm. on everything else. But talk to me about the call to action, because Damon, you even said that in the lead, is that sometimes your calls to action were weak or you didn't have them, or if you did, it was to try to drive them to a podcast. How much time do you guys spend after the headline thinking about those calls to action?
Well, that's a good question. I really don't, I mean, I don't, like, you should be spending a lot of time. You should be thinking thoughtfully about that. Like what do you want people? And I think in essence, it's like after the headline, it is probably the second most important thing because it is, you know, you're looking, that's the art of copywriting, right? You want what separates it from to say, you know, your sort of literary writing is you want a response. You want people to respond in some way. And so when you write something, you're hopefully getting that attention. You're sort of stirring that desire and then ultimately moving them forward, even if it's just a commenting. So I think it starts by knowing like what you're trying to accomplish. Like if you're just trying to say something, then there, you know, you may all be saying, like, what do you think? So you just end with a call to action. It's like, what do you think? You know, leave your, you know, thoughts in the comments. In the comment section. But if it's something more large, like, hey, go listen to this, subscribe to this show, or, you know, even, well, I don't think I would, you know, try to sell anything at that point. But ultimately, I don't think it's really that difficult because it's less formulaic than headline writing because really it's just you're asking a question. So, you know, it's like, want more of this type of information, subscribe to, you know, Rough Draft or, you know, go visit the site or something like that. So, I wouldn't say it's an inordinate amount of time, but you do have to be thoughtful about it.
Jared?
Yeah, I agree with Damon. I mean, my first instinct was to say, I mean, you almost need to think of your call to action first, you know, because mm-hmm. you've got to know where you're leading people. Now, again, if you're syndicating content on LinkedIn, you're not going to be selling something right then, but I think you do want to have an idea, is this a post, you know, to generate discussion? Am I trying to send people to listen to a podcast episode? You know, whatever it is, I think there needs to be some congruency there between, you know, your the goal of your headline, the goal of your call to action. So I think if you save it all the way until the end, you may not have that. But I think really having an understanding, okay, what's my goal here? Like, why am I doing this? Am I trying to just gain more attention, just get my name out there? Am I trying to drive people to a specific thing? It's very important to understand that so that whatever strategy you follow is actually going to be the right strategy for what your goals are.
Gentlemen, I have to tell you, this has been an awesome, awesome interview, even with you two on it. It's been a great, great interview.
Yes, it has.
You know, Jesus and Wolverine never fail to deliver, okay? Because one touches your heart, the other one touches your, you know, head, I guess. But
whoa.
Hey. Okay. This is a PG show. Hey, gentlemen, I really appreciate your time, and thank you guys so much. And for all of our audience, you can find out more from J&D if you listen to The Lead, which is published weekly, to the Showrunner Podcast course, or to The Rough Draft. All those shows are phenomenal and all part of Rainmaker.fm's content network. Gentlemen, thank you again.
Hey, thank you.
And we'll be sure to ask express permission if we ever dare to mention LinkedIn again on the lead.
I told Micah, I told you they were link holes.
I know.
Proud of it, baby.
Gentlemen, thank you again. So, Micah, that was a lot of fun with our two buddies, Damien and Jared.
They're always.
Yes, and I will say this, that, you know, writing and publishing is not only an art form, there is a science behind it. And part of that science is just consistently showing up and doing it, right? And these guys have been doing it for so long. And also, I think that part of the science, if you will, is making sure you ask questions and get insight from others. And that's why that LinkedIn discussion group we have is so important to the show, Micah.
Right.
So if you haven't taken the time yet, go ahead and text us at 41411 with the keyword MyLink. Or if you're international, go ahead and send an email to missinglink@rainmaker.fm. We'll get you an invite to that super secret private discussion group so that you can hear and share your stories of success, ask questions, and find out more about how to be effective on LinkedIn.
You'll be glad you did.
So, Mike, I think that's another wrap of another great show, and I am so looking forward to our next episode. But until then, I hope everyone has a very, very great week. You guys take care now.
Bye.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.